You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage, heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, it's time to hit it!
Yeehaw!
Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome, Dave's Corner Garage. And again, we have a great lineup for you this morning. Joining us today will be Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. These are the folks that if you've got a classic car or something special on the road, they're the guys that are going to insure it, and I understand their rates are really low.
They're going to save you money.
Yeah. You know, like I was amazed how inexpensive it actually is. Rob McLeish. Rob is with the Cobble Beach Concours d'Elegance.
Ooh, Elegance.
Do you know what the Concours d'Elegance is?
Is it a ball gown?
It could be.
Okay.
I have no... I do though. But we'll talk to Rob later. Rob is up in Port Perry? Or is that Port... Owen Sound. Somewhere up there near the fires. I hope the fires don't affect those guys. And Terry O'Keefe is going to be calling in from Omvik. Terry's out of town, in case you want to go to his house. By the way...
Where's your house, Dave?
Next to yours. We're going to be talking about EVs, electrical vehicles, the changes in the law of the current government, and the fact that you've got to get delivery at a certain date, plus some of the loopholes the dealers have to go through. And we're going to be talking about... Well, I'm not going to tell you everything. We'll talk about all that stuff soon. And that's about it. We're going to have a great show. Your calls are definitely welcome because we've booked some time for you. And the lines are filling up, which I like. Alan, I guess that's all. Take us out.
All right. Here we go. So this is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got a car care question. By all means, give us a call right now. And if you want to find out where the next great car show is going to be.
Yeah, we can tell you.
Tune in.
For service in Scarborough, Scugog, St. Jacobs, and Stony Creek, leave your question for Dave and Alan at davescornergarage.com or use your smartphone and call into the show. To reach us on Zoomer Radio, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740. It's a fact. The costs of driving a car are on the rise. Having your vehicle treated at Crown every year will put money back in your pocket. An annual treatment from Crown Rust Control helps your vehicle to look better, last longer, and maintain a higher resale value. Crown even helps reduce maintenance costs. How about that? With Crown, it's money saved, not money spent. For more information, visit crownwithak.com. Crown. Protect. Maintain. Save.
If it's true that Salen all-season tires deliver a quiet and smooth ride and maximum tread life for around half the cost of the competitor's tire, then shouldn't everyone be switching to Salen all-season tires? You'd think so. Then again, not everyone is as smart as you. Take Salen with you through every turn. Find a dealer at salentires.ca and drive smart on Salen all-season tires.
Notice anything different at lantinsurance.ca? We've rebranded to better encapsulate everything that has driven us for the past 40 years. We've also redesigned our website for content and function, so it's easier for you to navigate and find information. And have you met our new online quoting assistant, Mia? Yes, a lot has changed, but our mission remains the same, providing specialized collector car insurance that's crafted for collector car enthusiasts like you. Lantinsurance.ca, driven by passion.
Alrighty, the garage doors are wide open. My name's Dave Redinger, Alan Gelman, and of course, Jeff Coy's here from Lant Insurance. And that was your spot on the thing, and it was talking about insuring classic cars. So, Jeff, what's a classic car? Let's get that definition first.
Classic car is a car that is typically 15 years old.
Mm.
or older, and is you
1.5? Did you say
1.5?
Well, like I can do that. I got a 15-year-old car as my daily driver.
Well, in addition to that, it has to be a limited production vehicle.
Okay,
and low mileage, and something that's used just as a toy.
You know, is there a list somewhere somebody can go?
Yeah, on our website. At lantinsurance.ca.
Yeah.
You can go in there and list the definitions of classic cars, what the usage is. It's basically just used as, you know, anything but your daily driver. So
okay.
not your commuter to work, but, you know, something you want to just take out after work, go visit friends, go for an ice cream, you know, tour around, do a little bit of shopping. That's fine.
And the prices are really like ridiculously low.
Yeah.
Considering what you're
example, you know, an average vehicle is over 25 years old, valued at $25,000 stock, would cost you about $300 a year.
Wow.
Wow, that's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, really is, yeah. So here's a question. You've got a car which is worth like megabucks.
Yeah.
Let's say it's worth over $100,000, which some of these, you know, Chevy convertibles and that sort of stuff is. How do you adjust that? Do you get an agreed price?
Yeah, it's based on the market value, which is a value that we research through a number of resources we have to look up the values of what the average market price is for that vehicle in North America.
Interesting. And then you get, that's what your agreed price is.
That's what we agree.
So if he writes it off, I'm sorry, here's your check for $250 million and leave us alone.
Right, right. It's actually, we have what's called guaranteed value coverage, which is very unique. There's no other insurance provider offering that kind of coverage.
I don't think there's anybody other than you doing this sort of stuff.
Well, we're definitely the ones who have been doing it for 40 years. So we're definitely the ones who have been doing it a long time, and that's our specialty.
I see used cars come through or old cars, and a lot of times people really think that they're worth a ton of money. How often do you come up against someone who's saying, where did you come up with your number? Because I think it's worth that much more.
Yeah, where we come up with that the most is vehicles that have been customized or modified.
Right.
So they put hundreds of thousands of dollars into the vehicle and feel that that's what it's worth.
Right.
Actually, it's not. It's whatever the market is going to value at that today. What you go out and buy something similar for.
Right.
Some of those are trickier, but yeah, a lot of times.
Because somebody, you know, especially because of the internet, a lot of times people just Google their car and they go, "I've seen one where a guy got $150,000 for it," without realizing what goes into that and why that specific one, because it does come down to so many different things. It's, you know, not just the year, make, and model.
No.
You know, there's other limitations or other parameters that you're looking at. Like you said, you know, it's got to have, you know, matching numbers, for example.
Providence.
It couldn't have been in an accident.
Yeah.
It may have been a limited production where that specific model, maybe they only made 500 that year, and now there's only 200 left. So do you have independent adjuster or appraisers that people can go to for an unbiased sort of opinion?
We do. If we get in that situation where we're too far out on the value, then we'd suggest they get an appraisal done. And we have appraisers that have been working for us literally for our 40 years that we can refer them to.
So I've got a 53 Kaiser J. It's worth $12, and you're going to insure it. Okay.
Yeah.
You also have a big social network going on. You have some car shows going on. You've got Cars and Coffee.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, this weekend we're at Bothwell, which is just about half an hour east of Chatham. And it's a big flea market and car show out there. So if you're in that area, stop by and say hello. And then at our office in Stouffville, we have Cars and Coffee tomorrow morning for free coffee and donuts. Pop by between 8 and 11. Just cruise in, have coffee, donut. Say hi and be on your way.
What's the address?
37 Sandiford Drive in Stouffville.
Just near train station.
Right on Stouffville Road.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you go to your site, lant.ca, you've got a site there which tells you what's going on in the area.
Yeah, our event page.
Our event page, right? And it's right on top. There it is. Right? So Cars and Coffee is one. There was about 5 or 6 different events in Ontario this weekend.
Every weekend right now until right through to till Thanksgiving, pretty much.
As a matter of fact, Dave has a heightened sense of smell. So if you just start driving down Stouffville Road and roll your window down, Dave could find the donuts. Yeah, exactly.
And I bet you there's a lot of cops there, too.
There is actually the cop station right behind our office.
Yeah, sure, because of the donuts.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to go to the phones, and we have got quite a few questions for you coming up. So, Dave's Corner Garage, and Alan, take us out.
We're going to take a commercial break right now, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
Bothwell, that's got to be near the border.
Shout out to the Hot Rod in Richmond Hill and the van down by the Don River. You can post your question or comment anytime at davescornergarage.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. We're going to go directly to the phones, and we have Lee from Mississauga with a CRV question. Alan, this is for you.
All right, Lee, how are you?
Oh, pretty mild, pretty mild.
Okay, what's going on with your vehicle?
It's a 2000 CRV, and I've been driving it maybe twice a day for any given month. It's been parked in my garage. I just listen to music and sports. Anyhow, I get to the point. Is the fact that it's been turning over now. I drove it yesterday, and it's been turning over, but it won't come in. So my friends who are ignorant of me regarding car maintenance, we decided that it's not battery problem. It's more like something else beyond our knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
What you think could be 2000 model CRV.
Well, so you turn the key and it goes rrr, 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 but it doesn't fire, correct?
Right.
Okay, well, it could be a few. First of all, you know, you need a number of things for the engine to start. You need fuel, you need spark, and all those things have to happen at the right time. So it could be, for example, that you've got a bad ignition coil on that. The older ones did have some problems with coils and distributor caps. And then the, it may be just fuel. What does your gas gauge say? Is there gas in the car?
Yes, oh yeah, it's full.
Okay. What to do is turn the key, and before you crank it, you should hear a hum, okay? It'll only last for about 3 or 4 seconds. That'll be the fuel pump in the tank. If you hear that running, then the fuel pump is good. Dave's holding his finger up. I think he's got a better answer.
Yeah, no, I just got another point. You also have to have compression, and it could be that maybe the timing belt broke or something. So I think the first thing you're going to have to do is pull out a spark plug. And that'll give you the ability to do two things. One, see if you have compression. In other words, the piston's going up and down. And secondly, if you hold that spark plug in the connector and to ground, if you have spark. So that allows you to check two things.
If you have a friend that you don't like, just have him hold on to one of those spark plug wires.
Yes. And you'll
and
his
then
hair
you
will
just
go
give it a crank,
up.
And then there you go.
Right?
And I'm an electrician, but I'm not a mechanic.
Okay. But the reality is it could be many things. A no start is not a simple solution of just doing, this, that, and the other, and it's going to go.
So but certainly don't start just changing parts haphazardly, because it's going to cost you a lot of money, and maybe you don't know.
And wear shoes.
Yeah. So the best thing here to do is actually I would tow it into a local shop and let them go at it. It probably is going to be cheaper for you. There's so many things to be checked before you even attend this.
I have a mechanic with a good background, but he's very busy. He even promised me to come and do certain things to it because I want the air condition to work, but it's not working in the sense that he said it may need some fuel in the air condition.
Well, remember, this is an 18-year-old car. It's near the end of life. I mean, this is an end-of-life car. So you got to be also cautious of how much money you're spending on it, when you can just replace it.
Yeah.
So that's another issue that you may have. All righty. Listen, the best advice I can give you is you take it into a shop and have them give you advice of what it is and then make your decision. So your cost is going to be a tow truck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. All right, Lee. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Hey, Alan, you drive one of us, don't you?
I do, but it's important, I mean, I've got a classic car in my shop right now, as a matter of fact, a 63 T-Bird.
Bullet nose.
Yeah, exactly. Although I couldn't figure out how to check the year on those. Do you have an idea?
The air?
No, what year? How do I get the... Because the serial number is not the same, of course.
Yeah, so it's a bullet nose. It'll be 3, 4, or 5.
Okay, that's pretty specific.
Yeah.
But important,
might be 6, I'm not sure.
Before like Lee was talking, he's got an 18-year-old car, or if you're buying a classic, important that you get a full audit. You get the whole car inspected before you make any rash decisions.
If you're getting a classic car, though, say you're getting like a 1950-ish...
Okay.
All right, Packard or whatever the vehicle would be.
Right.
When did VIN numbers start coming into play? Like, would you be able to get a VIN on a really old, like a classic car, Jeff?
With the MTO, no.
Nope.
No. Their records only go back to 81.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, I licensed once the 29 Chevy when I was a kid, and all I had to do was I showed them the check that I paid for it.
Yeah.
And I got a set of plates.
Well, cars always had a serial number of some sort.
Yeah, its serial number does identify certain vehicles. Yeah. But as far as a main database, there's nothing.
That's right. That's why those early Chevys, we know, like the 69s and that, they could put all kinds of different engines in it, and it's okay because nobody can verify what it came with.
Right.
It's true. I got an email the other day from a listener, mm-hmm. and the question was, you know why it's not possible for car manufacturers to use their technical knowledge to be able to install a warning system in the back seat to warn people whenever a baby's left in a parked car? All right, that's one of these issues in the summer, especially where they're leaving kids in there, and these, I have to sad say, some of them are dying.
Well, but some manufacturers have come up with that.
Have they?
Absolutely. You know, they just put a sensor in the seat.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And so the computer knows that if someone is sitting on the seat, or it could be just, you know, a box of case of beer sitting on the seat. But at the same time, if it sees that impression in the back, it's going to come up on the dash and say, "Did you please make sure to check everything before you leave?" So they are doing it.
Hyundai also have a new thing coming up for the 2019s,
uh-huh.
where if you're in the back seat, whether it's a kid or an adult, and you're opening up the door, the mirror will sense if somebody's coming by, like in a bicycle, because mm-hmm. that never happens in Toronto.
Right.
And it will lock the door so you can't open it up anymore.
That's cool.
Yeah, wow. It's a great idea.
That's cool, because so many bicyclists...
We could put Dave in the back seat sometimes. It'd be safe.
Well, so many bicyclists do... I think they call it getting doored. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
You know, speaking of which, the Toronto version of the wheel section, I mean, where are we going to hell in the handbasket here?
Well, they're wheels. They're wheels. It's got two wheels rather than four wheels.
Okay, first off, the wheels is getting kind of skinny. But the other part of this is a section for something with gasoline and a license plate, and they're advertising Bike City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where are we going with this? This is not a bike rag. This is a car rag or a motorcycle rag.
Appealing to motorists to perhaps leave your vehicle at home if you don't live far from work. And the weather's nice, you could drive your bike.
You drag your toolbox on your bike?
No, but I leave it at work. I just bring my lunch, that's all.
So it's outrageous. So I'm protesting that this should never happen. This is a rag only for cars or motorcycles or snowmobiles.
You can call your friend Norris and ask him, how come?
I am. Next time we have lunch, I'm saving this paper. So bottom line is keep the bicycles out of the wheel section. It's not right.
How come you're so anti-bicycle?
You know why? Because they don't follow any rules.
Bicycles, yeah?
I go in the subway. I go downtown by subway.
Right.
There's a guy in a bicycle in the subway scooting along trying to get into one of the doors of the train.
Really?
And they're allowed to
He's riding the bike?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they ride up and down the stairs. They go backwards on a one-way street. They don't stop at the red lights. They don't stop at the intersection.
He's on a rant here.
Yeah, really? The bottom line is they piss me off. If they just follow the rules or get licensed and have some insurance, right? All those guys on electric bicycles are all DWIs. The guys that lost their license, get them on a bike.
Yeah, you know what? I see those guys, and they're crazy because police don't stop them. Are you allowed to drive those without a helmet? Because I see people without helmets.
Yeah, it's got pedals. You don't need a helmet if you're over 18.
That's crazy.
Some of the interesting courier companies that use bikes, right? The drivers mm-hmm. or Uber Eats.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know how these guys don't get wiped out, but
well,
they're like really magical to get in between lanes and cars and go, okay. Is that a burger for me? We'll take it.
Lane splitting. They allow that.
Well, on motorcycles they do now. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I was going to say before we have to take a break is if you would license a bicycle and they would have identification, I think a lot of this stuff would just go away.
Car questions. We're going to take yours for the rest of the hour. And also, if you want to find out more about summer events coming up with classic cars, go to lant.ca and also dayscornergarage.com, and you'll be able to see what's going on and listen to the show online at dayscornergarage.com. We'll be right back with Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance.
I thought Steve was going to bring us back, but he didn't.
Dave, the guy on line three, his pants are caught in his bicycle chain, and he doesn't know what to do. I think you'd be perfect for this question.
All righty, let's go to line one, and we're going to talk to Norm. And Norm has got an 87 Mercedes 560 SL. That's a nice car. I like this.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the pagoda roof, or is that just a...
It's a convertible.
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 Nice.
All right,
nice
cool.
Car, yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Well, I had it at the golf course the other day, and it seemed to rain out there, and I forgot about the top being down. And one of my windows the power window will not work. And I'm just wondering if I can get at it somehow or how I go about that.
Question, does the master switch, is it in the driver's armrest?
Yeah, it's in the console.
In the console. Yeah. I'm wondering if you just got some water in there by chance.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what's happened.
So what to do is figure out how to take the switch out, okay? And if you're lucky, it's maybe screwed together, and perhaps you can clean it out.
Compressed
get
air?
Get it working again, yeah?
Shoot some compressed air in there?
You could try that.
Right.
Okay, I'm not sure how to get at it, but I'll have to read up on it.
Usually the top of the console will come off.
Okay.
All right, because the switch comes up from underneath. I have a Crossfire that was restoring, and it's a SLK chassis.
Mm-hmm.
So the switch pushes up from underneath, and it's quite a flimsy switch. So, I mean, it's not very expensive. You have to replace it. But what you would do is, first off, I would check the fuses, make sure they're all okay, because it could be that the windows are
fused individually.
Yeah, it could be.
Specifically
because it's German
again,
built car.
It's good that maybe I can get at it easier than being in the door or something like
that.
Well, when you push on the switch, though, put your ear to the door. See if you hear any sound at all.
Yeah, I tried that. I don't hear anything at this time. But, that's good. I'll get at that. I appreciate it.
Lots of luck.
Okay.
The other thing he could try would be a whackometer. You know, you just what you do is you push the button.
A thumper?
Exactly. You press the button, and you give it a whack in the door panel.
It does seem to work.
And sometimes they work, you know, because what happens, especially on back doors, we see it a lot. Because people don't use the windows that often, the brushes will stick in the motor, and then they're not making a good contact. And if you just do that, and you give it a whack, and it starts to work, you're a winner.
That's right.
And give it a whack, you can win.
Up and down five, six times.
That's a whack-a-mole.
You're good to go. All right, how to sell an old car. Let's talk to Barbara from Burlington. Morning, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
Good, ma'am.
That's good. Yeah, I've just wondered what I could do to... I'm still driving it, but I'd like to get rid of it. It runs very well.
What kind of car is it, Barb?
It's a paint job. Pardon?
What kind of car is it?
It's a 1990 Tempo.
A 1990?
Tempo, yeah.
Okay.
So I was just, I just wanted to know how would I get anybody to be interested in buying it?
Do you want to jump in on this, Jeff? Okay.
Yeah, you could...
donate it, I guess, right?
You can donate it for sure, yeah.
Right.
You can look into, you know, trader.ca. They have a section for older cars.
Here's your problem. What are you asking for this car?
I don't know. I know I had one person offer me $8,000 for it.
Wow! I would have grabbed him and kissed him on both cheeks.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago.
No, that was just a short time ago. But,
find him!
I'm still driving it, so I just maybe he was interested in it because there's not many of them on the road anymore.
I'd drive around the neighborhood and see if you can find the guy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, because I wouldn't bet that you get $800 for that car. Seriously.
Yeah.
So $8,000 sounds pretty amazing.
And maybe he wanted to, you know, get to know you better.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Welcome to Dave's Corner Garage Dating Service here.
I couldn't believe it, and I thought, well, maybe he's into fixing up antique cars or something. And my car does need a paint job, though. I must say that. But other than that, she runs pretty good, and she's nice and clean inside. And
find this guy. You got to find out where he came from.
Put her for sale sign in the back window and drive around.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you, in Burlington?
Yes, in Burlington.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's not that many of those tempos around there. So somewhere somebody will find you. I mean, that is phenomenal money because, to me, that car has no value at all. I hate to tell you this. So I would have taken that car and donated it to a kidney car or something like that where it would do some good and you get a tax receipt for it. So if this guy offered you $8,000, maybe that was just to come on to get to know you.
Well, maybe that's what it was. I don't know anything about pricing cars, so I was like, oh, my God, you know?
Yeah.
That car only cost $8,000 when it was new.
Probably. Oh, so he's offering me the regular price.
He's just making her feel better and better every time.
Well, think about it. 1990, you know,
Yeah.
All right, well, lots of luck. I would put the sign in the window, as Jeff said,
yes.
And, you know, park it on the main street.
Oh, yeah. Hang on, I got one more question. Are you going to buy another car?
Yes, I'm interested in buying another car.
Well, then, you know, the other way of getting rid of this car is
trading it in.
Getting them to give you a minimum amount of money and getting rid of it that way. Because selling a car right away nowadays is a little bit hard because you're dealing with a lot of what's called curbsiders. These are guys that are unregistered dealers selling cars. So you're competing against that. You're competing against all these other people that are driving a car. And it's like a house. You got to keep it perfectly clean. You got to be on call. And you got strangers coming to the house. Best thing is trade it in, get rid of it, and move on.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Thank you for the great advice.
All right. You're very welcome. Take care.
Okay, Toyota is doing a real campaign to try and finish off their Takata airbag recall.
Yeah,
it seems like people haven't been responding, and it's this exploding airbag has killed 23 people to date.
Wow!
Uh-huh. Right, it usually happens in moist weather. It happens like Florida, mm-hmm. Right? And I have it down there. I have a Mustang down there. I've been to the dealer 3 times, no stock. So, and I'm primed because that car is going to blow the airbag one of these days.
That's terrible.
All right. So, if you're driving a Toyota, we get in touch with your dealer because you may be under this recall and it's not something you want to fool around with. Okay.
Exactly.
And take us out.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking to a gentleman up in Cobble Beach with a great event that's coming up in the middle of September. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage with a lot of things going on this summer and heading into the, did we mention it, fall?
Ooh, I saw a leaf the other day.
Daryl Sittler was in town. Okay. Back to Dave. Here you go.
Hey, and this morning we have Rob McLeese is on the phone. Rob is with the Cobble Beach Concours d'Elegance. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Great.
I'm good, thanks.
Big event coming up in September, what, the 15th, 16th?
The 16th is the Concours, 15th is Cars and Coffee and Seminars and Classic Car Ride and Drives.
Wow.
What do you do at the seminars?
At the seminars this year, we have two of them. One is How to Sink or Swim at Classic Car Auctions, presented by Hagerty.
Okay.
And the other one is The Evolution of Automotive Design at General Motors in Canada. And we have the head designer for the Cadillac, the current version of the Cadillac. He produced the Evoque, mm-hmm. the XLR. And he got Cadillac back into racing. He's a very interesting guy from Michigan, so we're lucky to have him.
Very interesting. I didn't know that goes on there. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's fun. It's no charge on Saturday.
And you're collecting money for the Sunnybrook Foundation and the Owen Sound Regional Hospital, which is actually a great thing to do.
Exactly. We've raised over $360,000 in the first 5 years.
Amazing. Uh-huh. How big a crowd do you get for something like this?
On the Saturday, it's around 1,000. On the Sunday last year, we were at 7,500.
Now, this isn't a show that our last caller could bring her tempo to, correct?
No, not really.
Jeff, go ahead, Jeff.
No, but these are all special cars. I mean, explain to people, what's the Concours d'Elegance?
Yeah, a Concours d'Elegance is different than a car show or a show and shine. It's similar to what we do at Art in the Automobile at the Canadian International Auto Show mm-hmm. in February.
So these are special vehicles.
They are really special. They're elegant and they're rarely seen. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And people are quite rude sometimes. They say, well, these are all trailer queens. Yeah, but would you put your Picasso in your briefcase? Because these are pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
They do get driven, but they're very special pieces that we're trying to preserve and people are trying to preserve for the future generations.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Jeff had a couple questions.
Yeah, Rob, just maybe just for educating the public, as some interest for the cars themselves is, many of these cars, we have a lot of clients that show cars up there, and there's a huge story behind each car, and the owners are more than happy to tell you the whole history of the car, and some of them are quite fascinating, you know, what they were designed for, who owned them, what they were used for. It's pretty exciting.
Well, that's exactly right, and you start with the cars and the art part of it, and as you say, Jeff, it's the stories behind them. For example, we have a 1938 Delahaye, mm-hmm. which was a French wonderfully Art Deco car built in that year. Mm-hmm. And this car was the star of the 1938 Paris Auto Show. It was bought by a Paris industrialist, driven for 3 months. He realized the Germans were coming into France, so he built it into his house, put 4 walls around it and a ceiling with no doors or windows, and it stayed there for 27 years. Then the family pulled it out in 1965, and this car is coming to the Concours. It's a very special car.
Has it been restored, or is it?
It's fully restored. It's a spectacular car. It's won two Concours this year already.
Amazing. Wow.
So there's no miles on that car then, eh?
You know what? It has been driven over the years. My guess is it's probably in the 30,000-kilometer range.
Okay, so that's still not a lot.
Right. I've heard stories where they buried them in the driveway.
Absolutely.
And put flowers. There was a RM did a Horch, I think it was called.
A what?
Horch.
A Horch.
Am I right, Bob?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
tell me
know,
I'm
that's
right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That is the right pronunciation, too.
So they buried this car in the driveway, put a flower bed over it because of the Germans coming into the country.
Yep. And that's the kind of thing that happened quite frequently, so that the cars, and they did that with Bugattis a lot, too, because they're such high-end cars, and they didn't want them to be ravaged.
Fascinating stuff. So it's September the 15th and 16th.
The 16th is the paying day.
And yes.
$35 a ticket. If you buy it today, it's $45 after September 1st plus HST. But some of the classes you're going to see, some of the cars. We have this year a Volkswagen class, which hasn't been done very often at Concours, which is going to be really special with a 21-window bus.
Right.
These are all restored. They're spectacular. What person doesn't have a Volkswagen or a bug story?
What's your website that people can go on and take a look at it?
It's Cobble Beach Concours, CONCOURS.com. So Cobble Beach, so our stones are bigger than pebbles, CobbleBeachConcours.com.
Right off the shores of Georgian Bay. It's gorgeous up there.
Exactly.
And next year, a whole lot of freaks can pile into those Volkswagen buses.
Hippies, yippies, and Jesus freaks.
What are you smoking? What are you rolling? We got it. Hey, we're cool, man.
Thanks for your call,
Smoke 'em if you got 'em, boys.
Have a great show.
Have a lot of fun. Thanks
Bob. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. I met Bob actually at the auto show, and then we discussed getting him on air. Fascinating stuff.
Looking at flower beds is never going to be the same again.
Oh, exactly right.
Coming up next, we've got some interesting stories breaking with Omvik from Terry O'Keefe, and we'll be talking to him right after this. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stay with us. Sporting a relatively new Walmart shirt, this is Dave's Corner Garage. And here's Dave Redinger.
Nothing wrong with a $3 shirt.
I didn't say it was wrong.
I don't
wrong.
Even
just sporting a new one. It's nice.
Is that a George?
Yeah. No, I don't know what it is.
I don't think you'd fit into a George.
Fashioned by George.
Terry O'Keefe's with us on the phone. Terry's with Omvik, and we're going to be talking about electric vehicle programs. Big article in the Post on Friday. Terry, how are you?
Yeah, hi. Good morning, guys. We were just trying to get the word out to consumers that if they're thinking about buying an electric vehicle in the next 5 weeks or so, that they really should take some steps to protect themselves. If they want to get that incentive from the government, and that's part of the deal, they need to take steps to ensure they get it.
Now, this is really interesting. The dealer has to do stuff, and the consumer has to do stuff.
That's right. So when the government announced they were going to wind down the program, they set September 10th as the deadline. So in order for the vehicle... And of course, the consumer to get that incentive. And some of these incentives are up to $14,000.
Yeah.
And so that can be a deal breaker. If you're not going to get it, you probably might not want that car. So the car has to be plated, registered, and delivered by September 10th. So if the dealer had it in inventory, that shouldn't be too big of a problem. If it was incoming in the next few weeks, it could be delivered by that deadline. But there's another caveat that a lot of consumers don't know about. On July 11th, the Ministry of Transportation sent an email to all the dealers saying that you have to report to us by July 16th all your EVs that are in stock or incoming. And if they're not on that list that the dealer provided to the ministry by July 16th, they don't qualify for the incentive.
So if the dealer didn't register it but still sells it, the consumer's out.
That's right. So it's not just the September 10th deadline for delivery of the vehicle. It had to be, I'll use the term pre-registered, if you will, with the ministry by July 16th. So what we're telling consumers is if getting that incentive is, if the deal's contingent on getting it, then make your contract conditional. Have the dealer write on the contract that the sale of this vehicle is conditional on the consumer receiving that rebate.
You know, in your experience, do you think that they're going to bring the price of these electric vehicles down after September the 10th, you know, to keep moving them? Because according to what my research, they really don't sell an awful lot of them, and there's really not a lot of incentive to sell them other than, you know, the government paying you to buy it. So can you see a price drop in September the 11th?
I can only tell you what dealers are telling us, Dave, and what they're saying is, without the incentives, the market is going to be even smaller. And it's small now, but it's going to be much smaller. And what the dealers have told us is they'll probably sell these vehicles to dealers in other provinces where they may still have a program and where there may still be a market for them.
So it pays them to ship it out and just get rid of them. Don't even get involved.
Yeah, because, I mean, for me, certainly, if buying a new vehicle, $14,000 incentive, that's huge.
Yeah.
And it could easily be the difference maker between me buying that car and not buying that car. So I don't think it's unreasonable to expect that the market will be smaller when the incentives are gone. And so that's what the dealers are telling us, is that they'll probably just wholesale these vehicles to dealers in other provinces where there's still a market for them.
Yeah. Terry, is there some way that, you know, who would they call if they wanted to know for sure if they're going to see that money or not?
The Ministry of Transportation.
Okay.
You know, we put this warning out to consumers saying, you know, make your contracts conditional.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that because we had had an inquiry from a consumer who had just purchased an electric vehicle, and there was a clause on the contract that said subject to price increase, and they didn't know what that meant. You know, did that mean if the incentive didn't come, that the consumer's going to be responsible for it? So we sent out some information to dealers saying, make sure your contracts are clear. And you can't use vague language like that. But we also wanted to make sure consumers knew, you know, protect yourself. Make that contract conditional. Put that clause on the bill of sale. If the dealer doesn't want to include the clause on the bill of sale, and legally they don't have to, well, the consumer has to ask themselves, do I want to deal with this dealer now? But the program itself is absolutely MTO. We took this step just to try to warn consumers when they're actually going through that buying process.
So is that who actually issued the checks for the rebate? Was the MTO?
That's correct.
Wow. Okay.
They haven't been issuing checks. The dealers are owed millions of dollars.
and Dave's correct. In many instances, the dealers have said, we will apply, they'll give the consumer the credit for the rebate, and they will apply for the rebate and have it directed to them.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's probably actually a good thing to do right now with some of the uncertainty. But do keep in mind, it's not just the September 10th. The dealer had to have provided the ministry with the list of inventory that includes whatever one the consumer's buying, and that had to be done by July 16th.
You know, just before we run away, so you bought a car under that condition. You take the serial number, call the MTO to see if you qualify for the rebate, and if not, walk.
Well, you just understand that if the dealer didn't pre-register that vehicle by July 16th, it will not qualify.
Ah, so the
entry has been clear. It won't qualify. So the dealer should be able to tell you whether or not it was done.
Perfect. Terry, thank you. More information at omvic.on.ca, right?
Perfect.
Got it right. Okay. We'll be right back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we need to still take your calls.
Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Some more information about what really constitutes a specific car. Dave, over to you.
Okay. There's people restoring these expensive machines. There's even fake Ferrari 250s out there. How much of a car do you start with to make it a car? Like, you know, people buy an engine or a chassis and then build a car on it.
Yeah. For us to insure it, it has to have an Ontario ownership.
Mm.
So to get an ownership, you have to have a serial number for that car. And what people have done in the past is just taking the number off the chassis or the frame and taking that to the MTO and saying, this is what I have, this is what it is, and hopefully they'll register it as that.
Now, in the 60s, a lot of GMs and Fords and that just had you know, numbers, which was a stock number as a serial number.
Really?
Versus what was the option packages in that car. So I come to you with a 396 Chevelle worth a ton of money, but it started life as a six-cylinder Weezer. So how do you recognize that? Because it's a clone.
Well, we just have to go by what the ownership is telling us.
Ah, okay. So agreed value and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. And you get a big contest going on.
We do. It's be wrapping up in another 7 weeks. It's a grand prize. We've had sweepstakes going on since April, And the grand prize is a trip for two to Bear Jackson auction in Scottsdale, Arizona in January. $1,000 spending money and auction tickets. And you can go to our website for more details on that. We also have a monthly draw for, I think this month it's Fitbit.
Perfect. You know what? I've been to the Bear Jackson auction several times. It's quite an event. It's thousands of cars, and they're all absolutely gorgeous. Even the ones where they sell on Tuesday.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's the Super Bowl of auctions.
Unbelievable. Sure. Unbelievable. Yeah. And I'm looking forward. I want to thank Rob for Cobble Beach. I'm going to be – I will send Steve because it's a golf course. Steve wants to play golf. So we'll do that. And big thanks to Terry O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, anything you want to say?
Do you own a trailer, Queen?
I have a Ferrari, yeah.
Now, do you drive
it? I drive it. I drive it. I drive it.
So it always starts?
The batteries die over a year.
No, well, you don't let it sit a whole year, do you?
No, yeah, I'll drive it once in the summer, a couple of times.
And, you got to disconnect the battery.
Even though the battery's disconnected, they just sulfate.
And is it a fancy, any special battery in that car?
Yeah, $300.
$300, that's a fancy battery.
Yeah. But the thing with that type of car, if you're driving it, people don't leave you alone.
Uh-huh.
Like, people are touching it and people are looking at it and you park it somewhere, people are bothering you. It's not as you're driving something for yourself, but when you park it downtown, somebody backs into it or hurts it or something.
Oh, I just caught that commercial on TV the other day. I thought it was so funny where Buddy purposely parks his car at the other end of the mall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody finds it and backs right into it. I thought that was hysterical.
So, like I say, it's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that I'm not the last owner of that car. That car will survive me. So I'm just the caretaker of that car. The next guy is going to be the caretaker of that car.
Am I on the list?
Actually, my son put a sticker on it.
That can be easily removed, though. You know that.
Now, what would that car be worth, for example?
It depends on the market. There's actually a list. It's called a Ferrari list.
Mm-hmm.
So if times are good, Ferraris are expensive.
Right.
If times are bad, Ferraris are cheap.
But when you say that, how much do they drop in price?
It can move 50,000 either way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is they look at the prices of Ferraris, and that'll tell you how good the economy is. If there's another list like that for Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these stock market guys use some of that information to figure out if the stocks are going to go up and down.
I would think that we should go to our friends at LeaseBusters then if I'm going to get a car like that.
Well, it's cheaper than going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Yeah, they scrap them down there.
That could be tough to do.
Down there, some of those cars get scrapped because these cars are, the guys leave them and just walk away.
Well, it happens in London. Apparently, a lot of these, rich oil sheiks will send their teenage kids to London and to go to university or whatever. And then they end up getting all kinds of tickets.
That's
and
right.
It costs too much money to get the car out of hock and pay the tickets.
Right.
So they leave them at the airport.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
They leave them at the airport.
Yep.
And they're done. And then the city confiscates them, and then they get auctioned off.
Auction offer is crushed.
Jeff, when's the auction for Bear Jackson?
It's mid-January.
Mid-January.
Yeah.
So the trip down there, how'd they get on? What's your website again?
Landinsurance.ca.
Okay. Landinsurance.ca. Get in there. Get a chance to win this trip down to Arizona for the Bear Jackson thing. It really is a Super Bowl of classic cars.
It is. It's amazing.
Something else.
Yeah.
And also on his site, landinsurance.ca, there's an event page.
Yep.
You want something to do for the weekend, just go on there. Today there's like five or six major events going on, easy to find, and they're all within a couple of
miles. Get in your car, go for a drive, go up to Schaumburg, get a nice big ice cream cone.
They still sell ice cream?
Oh, it's great. Kawartha Dairy? Can't beat it.
And if you're in Burlington, you could find a $9,000 Tempo.
True.
It's a deal. It really is. It's a steal of a deal.
Sebastian, thank you for running the show. Steve, thanks so much. And Jeff Coy, thank you very much. And Alan, who matters? Okay.
Hey, I'm an important guy. I'm a contributor to the show, and I'm a mechanic during the rest of the days of the week.
The real mechanic.
There you go.
Keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.